is so good for us, isn't it? Isn't it good for us?
Yes.
I mean, we should be recorded. It should be out there for the whole world to hear. Now, that young man over there, sitting in the front row, he didn't sing loud enough. Could we have him now? Could we have him sing a solo? Anyhow, everybody, isn't life grand? Isn't life grand? And you know, it's really nice when we're here and we join our voices together and the smiles across the room. Whoa, I just love it. I just think it's God in action. It's God in action. I'm thankful for the good voices that come up here to cover me up because my voice is so well used, it kind of crackles more than it sings. Just kind of like an old chicken. Maybe I am an old hen, who never knows. But now we're going to have someone share their thoughts with us. And then one more time, if you're new here, don't expect great speakers. We're talkers, and we just talk from our hearts. And so the talker for this evening, I've known him a lot of years. I think I met him probably about the same time as his wife met him, didn't I?
No.
I knew you longer.
Well, actually,
no,
you're right.
Well, thereabouts anyway. He was still in diapers. And anyhow, I love him, and I love for him to share his thoughts with us. And he does have a wonderful wife. She's just an adorable lady. And he's so old, he's got kids in college.
Just one.
Oh, one in college, and the other's in... Say that. He's old. But... But anyhow, he's going to share with us some of his thoughts, and I look forward to hearing them. And this is our David.
Yes. On Sunday, I forgot to put this down on my calendar, and Sunday, Kimberly reminds me that you're speaking on Wednesday. Of course, I go into panic mode. It's like, oh, my God, I usually prepare a couple of weeks, and I usually have something formulating at least 2 to 3 weeks prior. And by the night before, it usually all comes together, but not today, not this time. So I thought what I'd do today is actually try something different here. Try sharing one of my pursuits that I'm currently... in right now, and that has something to do with spiritualism, something that I've been pondering for quite some time. And really what it's all about has to do with the origins of spiritualism. By the way, it's so nice to see you guys back again. It's been a couple of months. And so what we learn here about spiritualism in the history of spiritualism class is that the Fox sisters are who ushered in spiritualism to the states here in America. However, spiritualism did not originate with them. In fact, what we say here at Fraternal Spiritualist Church, that other happiest place on earth here, is that that there are truths in all religions. And so we allow that to come into our church here. And we'd like to express those thoughts, share those ideas. And so as I delve deeper into the roots of spiritualism, of all things, it led me to architecture. And for those of you who don't know me, that's what I do on a daily basis, architecture. And it was ancient architecture that it led me to. So it's just so fascinating that when I put the thoughts out there, put them into motion, just how the universe responds with answers and those things that I'm seeking. And so there's a couple of researchers that I stumbled upon that I've been studying, which some of the architectural marvels. And these fellows, these researchers, one of them being a philosopher, they actually make the trips themselves to these architectural or archaeological sites instead of relying on others. And so They don't cite others. It's really firsthand knowledge that they've brought forth, one of which is Graham Hancock, the other is Ricardo Cassaro. And from these trips have made some rather startling observations or parallels between ancient cultures that seemingly never had any interaction with each other. The ancient Mayans, for instance, on one side of the Pacific Ocean, and the ancient Balinese on the other side of the Pacific Ocean, including the Egyptians. There are numerous parallels, but we'll only point out three of them. There's so many parallels. It's just uncanny how so many of these old ancient structures that supposedly they never had any interactions are so identical in their makeup and just in some of the symbolism that goes into this architecture. I'll show you one right here, which I won't get into tonight. It's not one of the three, but it's just one of those areas or one of those things that where it is just, again, uncanny. There's over 50 countries in here with what's known as the God Self icon. And so in ancient Afghanistan, they've got their version. In ancient Crete, and again, there's over 50 in ancient Sumerian, ancient Minoan, Greece, Mesopotamia, Persia. Even the Navajos have something rather similar. And so how is that? Why is that? I don't know. I know there's a lot of theories out there, a lot of people that speculate what that's all about, but really that's not what I'm after. It's the spiritualist part of the symbology that exists in ancient culture. It's almost as though it's encoded with a message for us to learn from. There's a common feature among temples built across the ancient world, especially about amongst the pyramid cultures, and it's known as a three-door entryway. This three-door entryway consists of a rather large opening in the center, flanked by two openings which are smaller. This discovery appears to not have been discovered by other archaeologists, or if they have, they're certainly not bringing them to the forefront. His research demonstrates that the temples with the three-door openings symbolizes a universal religion, a balance of opposites, wisdom tradition expressing the Eastern concept of non-duality that was shared by all ancient cultures. And what is meant by non-duality? When duality is present throughout all of creation, man, woman, dark, light, sun, moon. This universal religion teaches that we can achieve a metaphysical awakening by balancing the duality inherent in creation, including the duality inherent in our own physical bodies. We can do this via a process of inner alchemy by finding the center between duality. This idea is signified by taking the center door between extremes or opposite forces, hence that symbology of the three openings. It is interesting that this middle path tradition is also present in Buddhism. The Buddha's middle way taught that the true path to enlightenment and spiritual illumination is to be found by striking a perfect balance between opposites. I'll do the Lindy thing and quote Wikipedia. Buddha was moved by the innate suffering of humanity. He meditated on this alone for an extended period of time. He reached enlightenment, discovering what Buddhists call the middle way, a path of spiritual practice to end suffering from rebirths in samsara. It stands for the awakening mind's eye that occurs when life's dualities are balanced. The third eye. The Balinese sculpted faces and wood carvings displaying the third eye dot in the forehead, symbolic of the ancient third eye explained in the religions, mythologies, and spiritual systems of indigenous cultures around the world. The third eye is available to all of us, and we can open it and use it to see the inner soul, which is who we really are. That is, we are the soul and not the body. Can you hand me that bottle of water? Mayan stone faces also display the third eye dot in the forehead, symbolic of the ancient third eye, explained in the Mayan religion. The spiritual act of awakening the third eye, still taught in Eastern traditions like Hinduism, which was contemporary with ancient Egypt, was a central doctrine of the ancient Egyptian religion for thousands of years. The third eye is a key concept in Hinduism's Kundalini Yoga, which teaches to balance or unify our Ida or left bodily side with our solar Pingla right body light side. This balance or unity of our twin opposing natures makes us whole again, just as the balance or unity of China's twin opposing yin and yang has completed the perfect circle. This balance or unity also awakens a serpentine power, which rises up our spine through seven energy centers and activates a third eye hidden in our foreheads. In India, the forehead dot is called Bindi. In Egypt, the forehead dot was called Aten, the sun symbol. The Aten stands for the awakened third eye that sees the soul within or sun within, which soul or sun is really the higher self, the divine spark within us. The Aten is thus a symbol of both the third eye and the soul within that the awakened third eye sees. The Egyptian forehead dot signifies the same third eye concept as the Hindu forehead dot. Rather fascinating to me. It appears then that the third eye concept has deep roots in antiquity and appears to have existed in every ancient civilization worldwide at the same time, such as the Mayan cultures. Excuse me. So couple this with one of the most mysterious and popular symbols of Egypt, the so-called Acherlines hieroglyphic. Egyptologist tells us that the lion on the left corresponds to yesterday and faces west. The lion on the right faces east and represents tomorrow. Symbolism scholar Schwaller de Lubisch, I hope I said that right, wrote, "The sun disk in the center, perfectly balanced between the twin lions, represents the eternal present moment outside of time. In this interpretation, the sun disk itself symbolizes the soul balanced between tomorrow, yesterday, and tomorrow, and so centered. In other words, to locate this eternal present is to find our soul within or our higher self within. This is mastery, and this is our task in life. It teaches that there is no power greater than the present." Henry David Thoreau, "The meeting of two eternities, the past and future, is precisely the present moment." Eckhart Tolle, "Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, all forms of fear are caused by too much future and not enough presence. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, and all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by too much past and not enough presence." This is that symbol that I'm sure some of us or most of us have seen. And then there's this other symbol. It's the pine cone symbol, which is one of the most mysterious emblems found in ancient and modern art and architecture. The pine cone alludes to the highest degree of spiritual illumination possible. This was recognized by various ancient cultures, and the symbol can be found in the ruins of the Indonesians, Babylonians, Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, and Christians, to name a few. The pine cone held the same meaning for all. It symbolized a secret vestigial organ, the pineal gland, or the third eye, that we all possess. The pine cone emblems are always flanked by two antithetical animals. So there's a Roman bronze sculpture called the Pigna. I hope I pronounced that correctly, but it's that translates to pine cone. And once a fountain and is flanked by also by two peacocks. The sculpture sits in a Vatican courtyard called the Court of the Pine Cone. The parallels do not end there. The Egyptian staff of Osiris, likewise, has a pine cone and is flanked by two antithetical animals, in this case, two cobras. In Cambodia, the ruins of Angkor Wat have immense towers shaped just like pine cones and are filled with one pine cone symbolism after another. What is the symbolic meaning of these pine cones? Apparently, throughout history, has symbolized the pineal gland, or third eye, and the esoteric act of awakening it. The pineal gland lies at the geometric center of the brain and is considered to be the biological third eye. The French philosopher Descartes famously referred to the pineal gland as the seat of the soul. Of course, the architect in me has to know how things work, so I had to figure out and get to the bottom of what exactly is this mechanism that allows us to be able to experience this awakening, these things, this intuitive type gathering of information. And so I've held on now for some time on a technical report that describes the nature of fine matter that is invisible to the eye but not to the senses and references the pineal gland. And so the following is written. This might sound a little too scientific. I hope it doesn't bore you, but thought vibrations, which in their fine matter form are designated as fluidal energies and fluidal forces, which when triggered through the thoughts and feelings also yield outside of the brain various effects which can also be perceived by other humans. These fluidal energies and their forces are not only the energies relating to telepathy, levitation, and teleportation, rather also those of clairvoyance and remote viewing. And because feelings also arise from thoughts, for this reason, humans can also feel it when they suddenly lose or have lost someone who they love, in the same way that they also suddenly know that they are needed by a human who lives far away or in the vicinity. Fluidal energies free themselves from a human through strong thought currents which are perceived by certain connected humans and are grasped as a hunch or are correctly interpreted. The human assumes that there are only five senses, hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, and smelling, although seven exists, whereby the two further ones are perceiving and feeling, whereby the latter is connected to the instinct and is fundamentally bound with the world of thoughts. The fluidal energies are based on a factor of fine matter and is a product of the human brain and originates with the pineal gland. The fluidal energies, thoughts, and the feelings resulting from them go on journeys as fine matter energy. Thoughts is spoken to and perceptively perceives. Thoughts and feelings break through all boundaries of space and time and penetrate into the brain of anyone who is spoken to and perceptively perceives the call. Fundamentally, the pineal gland is the critical factor which, through the thoughts and feelings, forms the realm and center of the fine material sense. The pineal gland is the sense organ pertaining to the perception, respectively the human seventh sense, which, however, can no longer be used by many because unconsciously a barrier is constructed against it, whereby the so-called third eye, as the pineal gland is also called, is repressed and choked in its function. And so what do you know, as I've started in preparation for tonight's thoughts, you know, it, without fail, the universe also always, always follows with whatever I'm seeking. In this case, it just so happened that I had an article up on my computer screen that is strictly all about the pineal gland. And so this article states that the pineal gland has been of interest to philosophers and spiritualists for centuries, some referring to it as the third eye. The pineal gland is unique in that it's the only part of the brain and the human body and life in general that is a singular component, as opposed to having an opposite hemisphere counterpart. Excuse me. So the connection of the pineal gland to enhanced states of awareness and consciousness has paved the way to a pursuit of exercise. Herbal cleansing, supplements, and even meditation as a means to stimulate the pineal gland and experience more of its benefits. One of the first steps in this process is to engage in a detoxification. Fluoride accumulation can also cause it to calcify and effectively shut down. As manufactured chemical compounds are also damaging to the pineal gland, performing chemical and heavy metal cleanses may be recommended as precursors to pineal stimulation. And so when your body is in a clean and balanced state, there are exercises that can help strengthen that pineal gland and increase your chances of experiencing heightened levels of perception. Again, another one of my fascinations and intrigues. And so when I started preparation of my thoughts for tonight, I had no idea where this was headed. In conclusion, I've taken you on a journey from ancient history, civilization, who spoke of, who it feels as though they had that spiritual symbolism in antiquity that existed throughout the world and mysteriously connected by a common theme that appears in today's religions. One that appears to have been encoded by ancient cultures for future generations to know that there is one true religion, and that's spiritualism, the foundation of which resides in you and me, and that is that, each individual is a God self, capable of a spiritual experience, achieving that balance through a practice of a non-duality. That is, striving towards a life fulfilled by following a spiritual path of awakening, the third eye, leading, and the spiritual gifts that accompany it, allowing us to detect those fluidal energies that are released in the form of fine matter that can sense and be sensed by anyone, thereby directly affecting human consciousness, developing intuition, increasing self-knowledge, and unleashing one's creative potential. And I'll leave you with this quote. Ralph Waldo Emerson states that every man is a divinity in disguise. I've got lots of images here for you guys to see should you want to see some of the comparisons. One of which, here's a sculpture. It's called the Pine Cone Sculpture in the Vatican. Here's another one. Totally unrelated. Cambodia, structures that in the form of pine cones. So this is a work in progress for me, research that I've been doing for some time and will continue to do so, but again, this is just fascinating, intriguing, and so I'll leave you with that.